South Korea moves to ban cryptocurrencies, and why one British firm uses the speed dating model to get moms back to work.
There's a lost generation of women that have really struggled. Surely the industry as a whole should be collaborating to get that talent back.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The Bitcoin roller coaster is facing another downhill slide today as the cryptocurrency's price tumbles more than 7%. The decline was sparked in part by a 1-2 punch from South Korea's government and police authorities. The BBC's Victoria Craig explains.
South Korea's government said today it is considering a ban on cryptocurrency trading on domestic exchanges as concerns over the surge in Bitcoin's popularity mount for the nation's finance ministry and regulators. South Korea's justice minister likened cryptocurrency trading to speculation and gambling and said the risk could inflict serious financial damage on citizens. It's a move that could send the virtual coin market into a frenzy, since the region is home to crucially high demand for Bitcoin and is categorized as the world's third largest market. But the ban may not come to fruition for months or even years, reports suggest. Legislation must first be drafted and receive a majority vote of the National Assembly. As the nation's government mulls its options, alleged tax evasion sparked a raid by local police and tax authorities on two of South Korea's main cryptocurrency exchanges. That added fuel to the cryptocurrency sell-off. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. A report that China's government was considering slowing or stopping purchases of U.S. debt added fuel to a sell-off in the bond market yesterday. Today, though, China's State Administration of Foreign Exchange chalked it all up to fake news or wrong sourcing. A statement from the regulator has helped quell fears and steady yields on 10-year U.S. bonds. Now, violent protests have grown in Tunisia, with 300 people in prison and the army out on the streets in several cities. Now, you might remember that Tunisia was where the Arab Spring started, and these protesters say prices have gone out of hand.
The protests are over the cost of living. Prices of medicine have increased, everything has, and salaries have not.
I think it's very difficult for that to change, unless we bring down the president.
We're here because there's anger on the streets of Tunisia. We just want to correct this path so that our country progresses.
The BBC's Rana Jawad in Tunis explains.
What's concretely gone up so far is the price of petrol. What we are seeing in terms of protests is a fear of the rising costs of other staple goods because the government has also imposed new taxes on some imports, like, for example, agricultural products. That will then increase the cost of fresh produce. They're also fearing a knock-on effect on the price of public transportation.
And why are these prices going up?
Well, the government sees it as part of a package of austerity measures that they need to impose to comply with demands from the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, which is due to give a second installment of foreign aid in the amount of about $320 million. The budget deficit is growing. Inflation is at an all-time high. And they have very few alternatives at the moment because the economy has really been tanking over the last 6 or 7 years.
The BBC's Rana Jawad. According to the IMF, if women and men had more equality at work, growth in the U.S. would increase by 5%, in Japan by 9%, in Egypt by 34%. Now, one obstacle women face is returning to work after having a child. In the U.K., one organization called Back to Business Ship is using the speed dating model to pair up female marketing professionals with potential employers. Ed Butler reports.
So there'll be a whistle to start, a whistle at the end of 5 minutes, and we will finish in an hour's time.
And they're off. A room full of ex-marketing professionals pitching their skills at a similar number of marketing companies.
Would you like to tell me a bit more about yourself?
Yes, of course. My name's Bina.
Some 5 million British women with dependent children are today in work. That's 50% more than 20 years ago. But many are failing to come back to jobs that are equivalent. The woman who's organising this very select recruitment event is placement professional Amanda Fone.
There's a lost sort of generation of women that have had to, for whatever reason, take time out, that have really struggled. If the industry has trained talent,
and lost it, then surely the industry as a whole should be collaborating to get that talent back.
Hi, you are?
Vivica Alvestrand.
You're a mother looking to return to work?
I am indeed.
How did your pitch go?
I've only done one so far, but I think it was okay. It went really, really quickly. Much faster than I anticipated, actually.
And then I grab a quick word from one of the prospective employers.
Hi, I'm Ed from the BBC. How are you?
I'm fine.
What's your name?
Gemma McCartney from Cane and Wolf.
What are you thinking so far?
Really good. It's amazing, actually. They've got phenomenal experience. I mean, I feel a little bit inadequate, actually, to be honest, talking to some of them, because they've got a lot more experience than I have.
Joan Riley went through the programme a year ago. It relaunched her career, and she says the main challenge is the fear itself.
I was nervous that would I have to compromise so much to get back into the working world. Everyone in the working world is dealing with change on a daily, minute-by-minute basis. You're no different to anyone else. You're learning on the job, and everyone learns on the job.
Well, the organisers of this slightly unusual event say it's the first confidence-building step. A confidence boost is precisely, they say, what many mothers need to find their footing back in the workplace. In London, I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
Finally, here's a sign of the times. While South Korea and China clamped down on cryptocurrencies, Japan has an all-girl crypto pop group. The virtual currency girls, dressed to represent 8 digital currencies, their debut concert tomorrow only accepts crypto payment, though their first song is all about fraud. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report.